Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. Before we get into today's episode, I gotta tell you about Kettlebell Social. It's here. Kettlebell Social is my newly revamped online strength training program and community for women who like to do hard things but are trying to be more chill in their approach to fitness. It's opening for enrollment September 18th, 2023. So depending on when you're listening to this, you can go to the link in the show notes and either get yourself on the interest list or just sign up and join us. Here's the deal. Your workouts are meant to enhance your life, not consume it. You maybe love to work out, but like you have a whole ass life to live outside of the gym. You're so over using exercise to shrink yourself, and you love feeling like a badass, but you also need it to be fun and flexible and free. And you're ready to start questioning the arbitrary rules around fitness and stop following advice that wasn't meant for you. If this sounds like you, we're your people. Come play inside of Kettlebell Social. You can check out the link in the show notes for more info. Welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I'm your host, Jenna Josephowski, but you can call me Jenna J. I'm a semi-retired professional dancer, dance teacher, and yoga teacher turned certified personal trainer and kettlebell instructor who helps active women learn to lift and get strong with equal parts challenge and compassion. After years of working in the fitness industry, I got sick and tired of watching people, including myself, run themselves into the ground trying to uphold the narrow-minded image of what our culture sees as healthy and fit. But instead of giving it all up, I decided that I'd rather change the game, call out the BS, extract the good, and help others learn to use movement as a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. On this podcast, we'll explore the intersection of fitness and anti-diet culture and all the gray areas in between. We'll let go of shoulds and judgments and dig into tough conversations with curiosity. Things get pretty spicy around here, so grab your headphones and let's do this. Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. Today we are going to talk about a few things, but mostly things that are related to breaking rules, specifically arbitrary rules when it comes to your health and fitness, getting a little bit more curious about what kinds of fitness advice and what kinds of fitness rules we choose to follow when perhaps we ought not to because that advice wasn't meant for us, and then also getting clear on your own purpose besides doing things like working out, like lifting weights, because a lot of us say this thing that we like work out for our mental health or even for our physical health, for either matter. You're working out for health-related purposes or just to live your damn life. But many of us wind up doing things that are counter to those goals and are in a lot of ways also detrimental to our mental or physical health or both, and getting in the way of the kinds of lives that we actually want to live. And I have a lot of examples about this I want to talk about today. But first, I'm just going to do a little debrief about where I am right now at this moment and what I did yesterday and how it kind of, I guess, sparked the interest in me recording this episode, but also because I feel like I just want to share. I am currently sitting in my shed. It is, I guess it's only about 8:30 p.m., but it feels a lot later because it's darker later because now it's fall. I just got my son to bed, which is earlier than I normally do. Unfortunately, he tends to fight me a lot going down for sleep, but today he fought me for his nap instead. So he's been down for quite a little bit. I'm out here in my shed. I am drinking a spicy margarita because it's just one of those days. And you may hear crickets in the background because I have the window cracked, or I guess the sliding door, the screen cracked a little bit, just to get some air circulation in here. This is not really the time I had planned on being in here. I had planned to do it this afternoon, but hey, the child wouldn't nap, and here we are. This week has been a lot of things for me, I think. It's been exciting. I've been excited about a lot of things. You heard me mentioning and talking about my new online group program, Kettlebell Social, and been working on stuff for that. And I'm super excited about that program. I'm also really excited because it was our first week back at the dance studio that I teach at. So, like, good full week back of teaching, excited for my new classes, excited to work with my students again, excited for new choreography, like all good and fresh new things and good vibes. But also, a lot of those things can be really exhausting. You know what I mean? Especially physically, that first week back to dance teaching is always just a lot of extra on my plate. I always wind up feeling so wiped and so tired and usually so sore from all the demoing. It's just a lot. And then a lot of extra stuff on my to-do list, promoting the new program. And then surprise, surprise, I'm potty training as well. The toddler, fresh hell, 10 out of 10, do not recommend. It is getting better. We are working on it, but it is frustrating and it is a battle and it is a literal shit show on some days. So all that is to say, that is me right now. And that was me yesterday. On Friday morning, I woke up, I had a couple of personal training clients in person. And my game plan after seeing those in-person personal training clients was to get my own workout in. I was going to go get a lift on for myself, which I normally do on Fridays. And then I was going to go sit at a coffee shop, do a bunch of admin work, catch up on some emails, plan some more stuff for Kettlebell Social, maybe come home and record this podcast. But I didn't because I was tired. I was tired as fuck. Like, I was so tired yesterday morning that I had a dream the night before. And it's funny, I told my husband this, that I had like 3 cups of coffee and I still didn't feel awake. Like, that's what I dreamed. And then I woke up. I was like, I drank 2 cups of coffee before I went to work. Still didn't feel energized. I'm like, I cannot possibly have a third cup of coffee. So I went to Starbucks and I got myself a matcha and some egg bites, even though I had already eaten breakfast because I was also kind of like still hangry. So got the food, got the things, went to work, trained my clients. And afterwards, I was like trying to rally and go get myself to go lift. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll do something else movement wise. Maybe I'll go find a yoga class or something like that. And as I'm sitting there dragging my feet, I'm like, I'm so fucking tired. Like, what is the point here? Time out. I'm like, I do this to feel good. I lift weights. I work out. I do whatever shit that I decide to do movement-wise so that I can feel good, so that I can move about my life better with more ease. And on this day that I am just physically and mentally and like all of the kinds of tired, like, what am I doing here? Why am I trying to take myself to the gym and lift heavy shits when I am so dead? I'm like, no, scratch that. I'm not going to do it. So anyway, I scrapped it. I threw in the towel and I was going to run a couple of errands and come home and record the podcast episode. I actually went and got my nails done because that always gives me a little pick-me-up. And then I could not. I was just done. I don't know if any of you saw on my Instagram stories a couple of weeks ago about how our refrigerator broke and my husband was trying to get me to help him like move the old refrigerator out of the house. It's been a whole ordeal. Anyway, new fridge finally came yesterday and it got delivered and there was like a bunch of like random like food and drinks and stuff that was like out on our counters that needed to get put back in when I got home from work and I was just like, oh no, 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 I cannot. I was done. Anyway, I got no work done. Here I am. That was a long-winded intro, and I don't care. The point is, I do what I do. I lift so I can feel good mentally, physically, etc. A workout yesterday would have felt the opposite for me. It probably would have made me feel worse. And yet, my default was still to try to make myself do the thing anyway. And I think a lot of us do that because that is the message that we get from the fitness industry at large. It's like, no excuses, go hard or go home. It doesn't have to be that way. And so today we are going to talk about some different ways that this might come into play for you. I'm going to share a couple of client examples that you may see yourself in, and then we're going to figure out how we can move forward and some of the ways that you might be unknowingly following fitness advice that wasn't meant for you and obeying arbitrary rules that don't make sense for the reason why you're doing the thing in the first place, kind of like I almost did yesterday. So another little example that I want to share is I've actually had a couple of clients about this recently. I don't know what it is about this time of year, like August, September. People moving a lot. Moving is a thing. And I have had a lot of clients be really apologetic over missing workouts for moving. First of all, like, you never need to apologize for missing workouts, but like, they're genuinely concerned. And for a lot of them, I'm like, dude, this is your event. You know, a lot of my clients are very much on the page of like, I want to feel strong. I want to be able to carry heavy shit. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to carry my groceries in one trip, blah, blah, blah. If that's your reason for lifting weights, if that's your reason for working out, moving is literally your event. Like, some people train for a marathon or whatever. No, you're training for this, to carry like the big boxes up and down the stairs and to like crouch down at weird angles and, you know, pull stuff out from underneath couches and whatever. I don't know. I'm making stuff up yet. But this is literally the event, and there is no reason why you should feel guilty for skipping a workout when you are skipping it to do the thing that is the whole point of why you're training. You know what I mean? Another example of this, the other day I was with a client, and a lot of times I will have a client kind of fuck around and find out, if you will. Meaning, I might not tell them how many reps I want them to do of something. I'll say, hey, here, try that weight. Here you go. Take this weight. And stop when you have one or two good reps left in the tank, right? This is what we try. So I had a client do this with an exercise, and she got to 9. And to be clear, I wasn't counting out loud for her. I was counting on my fingers so she could just like focus on different things and I could cue her and whatever. So she did 9, not 10, 9. And when she finished off, she was like, how many was that? I said 9. And she was about to go and pick up that weight and like real quick do it one more time. And I was like, no, no, no. 10 is not better. Why are we like this? A lot of times we get really stuck on like having to reach a certain number. Like, 9's not 10. And if we don't get to 10, it doesn't count. And it's like always 10 for whatever reason. But I've got to tell you, I love when a client does 9. I love when a client does an odd number. I love when a client does 7. And that's something that I don't think a lot of us necessarily play around with enough, especially when we're lifting and particularly when we're going to get to some of those lower numbers. These are just a few examples, especially that last one about the insisting on doing 10. Of the ways that we keep ourselves from actually getting stronger, from actually reaching our fitness goals and fulfilling our purpose around them. And it also wastes a fuck ton of time. So think about it for a second. Back to the sets of 10 thing. If you're always doing sets of 10, you might never pick up that heavier weight that you can quote unquote only lift 6 times, which is, by the way, actually a real amount of reps that you are fully capable of and would benefit from exploring. In fact, for what it's worth, I got my lift in this morning when I was feeling a little bit more energized. I did sets of 6 deadlifts, friends. 6. Just 6. Not just 6. It was 6. It was intentionally 6, and it still counts. That's one example. Another one is that if you're only always going to the gym for an hour, if that's your thing, like, well, I have to go for an hour, you're not going to go on the days where you only have 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Or you will go anyway, but you'll feel like it didn't count. Like, you won't feel good about that workout because you didn't get the full hour out of it. You know what I mean? Another way that we do this to ourselves is automatically choosing the most reps and sets in a range when you're following a written program. So I do this. I know a lot of other coaches do this. When you're writing strength training programs for clients, we'll program like a rep and set range. It'll say like, you know, 4 to 5 sets of 5 to 6 reps, for example. When in actuality, rather than choosing like the most every time, no matter what, because you're an overachiever or whatever, you're considering things, or should be considering perhaps, things like how well rested you are, how fed and hydrated you are, your stress levels. All of those things affect your energy in the same way that I described my energy feeling really drained on Friday morning after that long week, right? And as a result, we force ourselves to do the most because a program said that, and like, you know, we're being good or whatever, so we do the most reps and sets, when the person who wrote that program doesn't actually understand the full context of your life on that day in that moment, like you're the boss of you. But as a result, you wonder why you low-key feel like garbage all week in spite of the fact that you're doing everything quote-unquote right. Let that sink in for a second. A lot of you are doing things like always doing 3 sets of 10, always going to the gym for an hour, always choosing the most reps and sets in the range without considering all of those other factors and how they are affecting the way that you show up and how they play into your larger reason for being there in the first place. And you low-key feel like garbage and you wonder why. Sometimes you have to pause and stop yourself, right? Here's another way we do this. If you're always chasing burn, sweats, and breathlessness, you might never get to experience something like a PR, a personal record, and say your overhead press that comes from taking a long ass rest, like 3 to 5 minutes in between sets. A lot of people hear me say that, like, oh, rest 3 to 5 minutes, or they see that in their program and they're like, what? I don't need 3 to 5 minutes to rest. Here's the deal. If you think you don't need that 3 to 5 minutes, you are probably not even tapping anywhere close to your potential in terms of how heavy you could actually lift. That rest is actually necessary so that you can do more. Sometimes you need to do less in order to do more. And on a side note, another conversation for another day, is that you don't need doing more to be the reason why you rest. Like, you also just deserve to rest because you do, but I know a lot of you probably need, you know, good reasons. So it's that you need longer rest between sets if you want to be able to experience those more challenging things. And if you're listening to every piece of advice you hear from fitness professionals, your doctor, that non-diet dietitian or therapist you follow on Instagram, and that lady you overheard talking after your yoga class, you've probably got a whole bunch of shoulds that are taking up valuable space in your brain. You, my friend, have better shit to do. And to think back, because I was actually just listening to this episode, the episode that I shared last week with my friend Shori Davidi talking about self-trust, when it comes down to why you're even following anybody for fitness or health-related advice in the first place, there's a good chance that you probably don't want, like, some random lady you overheard talking after yoga that you barely know dictating what you do in your workout or where you take your life. You know what I mean? You have better shit to do. So this is one thing. It's actually very interesting. I'm going to share another personal story about something that happened to me this week on Instagram, because I have a wide variety of certifications and influences and people that I learn from, and educators and courses and all sorts of things that play into, like, my experience and what I share with personal training clients. Some things that a lot of people don't necessarily know about me, in spite of the fact that I'm a kettlebell nerd and my program is largely focused on that, there are a lot of different places that I pull the things that I do with my clients from. In addition to having, like, 3 different kettlebell certifications from 3 very different educators, organizations, etc., I also pull from a lot of other experiences, other coaches that I've worked with, barbell stuff that I've learned from other trainers, things that I learned from being a yoga teacher for years, things that I've learned from being a dance teacher, all the continuing ed that I've done through all those avenues over the years. There's a lot that I bring into the movement and the training that I do with my clients. And I've now come to understand, it's really interesting, that there are different ways that different certifications, different courses, different continuing ed want you to do the thing because they think their way is the best. And I think initially, like when you first become a personal trainer, or I mean, to be honest, if you first become any kind of anything in your career, you feel like, oh, I took this course. This is such valuable knowledge. I know everything now. I can teach people all the things. And then the more you learn from different places, the more you realize like, oh, I actually still have so much to learn. And there are so many different ways that we can do this and so many different reasons that you might choose to make a different choice. And that's one thing that I try to coach my clients around. Okay, I'm getting a little sidetracked here. Let's go back to this Instagram reel that I posted last week where I was talking about a way to do kettlebell swings, one of a few different ways that I teach them, how I break them down for clients, because I have a few different tools in my toolbox. And the person who commented essentially came into my DMs and was asking me to do something different. You know what I mean? It was kind of like a little form check. And in thinking about this, first of all, why I was demoing these kettlebell swings in the first place, the intent and purpose in me filming this was not to get like the maximum power out of my swings or whatever. It was to film a reel really quickly to pass a bit of information onto my clients. So it was my hip hinge, like the deepest hip hinge that I possibly could have done at that moment to get the most power. No. Was I trying to get the most power out of my kettlebell swing in that moment? Also, no. I wasn't even swinging like a very heavy bell. In any way, I digress. The point of this is I think if somebody would have told me that like as a newer trainer or as like an earlier version of me as a content creator trying to post something, I would have gotten like really offended by that. Like, oh, they're correcting my form. They think I'm bad, whatever. And in reflecting about that, I'm like, you know what? That's literally not the point. And so yes, like if my goal is to help my client get more power out of their kettlebell swings, I'm going to ask them to do it this way. But there are a million different reasons that somebody could be doing a kettlebell swing and a million other things that they could be focusing on their swings, like form-wise or skill-wise in any given moment, that maybe like that's not the main goal right now. You know what I mean? We could get really nitty gritty and picky about it. And like some people just want to move and make sure they're not hurting themselves. And so the important thing that I had to remind myself was like, okay, what's the goal here? And does this person even know like what I'm trying to help my clients with or what piece of advice that I'm trying to share on Instagram on what the point of this is? You know what I mean? The answer is, well, probably not. Anyway, that's one example of how that stuff kind of shows up for me and how I use those different tools with my clients. But I want to give another example, and my clients are getting a kick out of this. I want to talk about doing rows. Lots of different ways you can do a row. I do a lot of times like single arm kettlebell rows with my clients, and I encourage them to keep their shoulder packed in, which if you're not sure what that means, you're keeping your shoulder essentially in one place as you do the exercise. So you're not sort of letting like your arm drop out of the socket. You're keeping the shoulder retracted or pulled back and in as you're doing the row. And the reason that I might have a client do a row like that is to prep them for single arm kettlebell swings, because that's something that you're going to want to do with your body when you're doing a single arm swing. I also want to give a shout out to my friend Jen Hossler, who is on Instagram, who gives amazing, just all sorts of different movement advice and stuff. She's the physical therapist. And then also Ryan at Synaptics Health and Performance, which is a local gym that combines strength and conditioning and like performance, athletic performance with rehab, which is just really cool. And both of them have been talking a lot lately about letting your scapula move, like allowing your shoulder blades to move when you do things like rows or lat pull downs, which is a rule as personal trainers that we've been taught to follow, or I guess that we've been taught to break, like not letting your shoulder blades move. You keep your shoulders down and back, shoulders down and back. That's what you always hear. which is good for certain intents and purposes. But if you're somebody like me, for example, who has like tight as fuck shoulders and needs to get a little bit more mobility in there, there might be a reason to do that exercise a little bit differently. And so we all, I think, have to get more curious about our why and then not get so bent out of shape about it when people are giving advice and we're like, ah, it's all too much. It's coming in too fast. You know what I mean? Because the truth of the matter is when you're just scrolling on social media and you've got one trainer telling you to keep your shoulder packed and the other trainer telling you to like free your scapula, what the fuck do you do? Well, who are they talking to? And do those rules even apply to you? Yes or no? I talk a lot about kettlebells. I love kettlebells. They're my fave for a lot of reasons. If you missed my episode, I believe it was 15, maybe. I don't know. I'm bad with numbers. You got to go back. It was a couple of episodes ago talking about incorporating more kettlebells into your training. I love them, but we're also flexible. And I will give an example right now of something that happened with one of my clients who has very sensitive wrists and has a really, really hard time holding a kettlebell in the rack position, like letting that bell rest on her forearm. She hates it. I'm not going to make her do that if she doesn't like that. And we have that luxury when we're working together, like with a one-on-one client or even like in a group setting where there's that openness to ask questions. Like we can be flexible and I can teach you, because much like those other examples I gave about the different kinds of kettlebell swings and the different kinds of rows, there are a lot of different ways to accomplish the same goal. And at the end of the day, if that particular client hates having a kettlebell pressing on her wrist when she does an overhead press, I'm going to give her a different variation. And I'm always willing to do that for my clients. I'm a firm believer that your trainer, whatever coach you're working with, should be able to teach you this stuff and help you figure out for yourself when the rules apply to you and how. And whether or not it even makes sense for you to follow them in the first place. That's really, really important. Flexibility, I think, is a really good thing to have. That flexibility to choose a different piece of equipment, to choose a different way to start your swing, all of that. Love flexibility, but I think what's even better is flexible structure. And that's one of the things that I love about working with clients and that I love about the programming that I do, is that it gives you a game plan so that you don't have to worry about going to the gym and being like, what the fuck do I do? And then you just feel like you have to do all of the things, 3 sets of 10 of like every single exercise ever, and be there for, you know, 1 to 2 hours. It doesn't have to be that way. And so I think what's really great is having that general like framework or guidelines, and then the knowledge that you can bend it a little bit depending on your intents and purposes of being there. You know what I mean? Anyway, does this sound like you? Does this sound like something that you need more of in your life? Come play inside Kettlebell Social, which is my online group strength training program and community, where we give you a flexible game plan to use when you go to the gym so that you're not wasting time doing 3 sets of 10 of the same exercises every single time. We help you zero in on the most important building blocks of strength training, featuring kettlebell skills plus some other stuff, and give you the room to grow from there. Where we give you the freedom and space to do it on your own time and alone. Because even though you like to be social sometimes, group fitness classes aren't really your thing. We give you the knowledge and the mindset tools to build confidence in lifting in the free weight section of the gym on your own. And where we don't expect you to explain or apologize for missing a workout, because you are a grown-ass woman and you are the trusted expert on yourself. And finally, where we have a small but cozy community so that I, as your coach, can get to know you as the whole ass human that you are. One thing that's really wild about being somebody who runs a business on the internet is that for whatever reason, people think that you're like a big deal and stuff, or that you're like too busy to respond to, you know, their DMs, or they don't want to bother you or whatever. Friends, I think one of the cool things and one of the reasons that I'm glad that I don't have like a massive, massive following is because I do get to keep my coaching program rather small so that I get to know all of my clients as whole people. And when you're being coached, you are being coached by me, like not one of many other coaches that I have on my team. I feel like we really get to not just work together and learn from each other, but also develop friendships, which I think is really, really great. Anyway, I'm going to cut this off right now. I feel like my spicy margarita is starting to get to me. I think I need a glass of water or something else, maybe to like go inside and go to bed. But thanks for listening. Okay. Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. Thanks again for tuning into Tough Cookie Talks. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to learn more about me and how we can work together, visit my website, itsjennaj.com, or follow and tag me on Instagram at itsjennaj. I would love to hear from you. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, make sure you click subscribe and follow along so that you don't miss a single show. Then take a moment and leave me a 5-star rating and review so that we can help this podcast and this message reach even more people. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.